The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4, 3, 2, 1, it's a goal! One of the Tigers! Whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your marks!
Oh, gee whiz.
He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Big man takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes, and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal. How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
Going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy.
Started with him.
Yep. Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is the play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. That champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals he can make the case for being best on ground.
I think they were a better team last year than they are now.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And you know there's few things I enjoy more than a draft, Andy.
Of course.
Mm. And there's few things I like talking about least than losing a game, and particularly a big game. So I want to talk about the AFL draft first.
Sure, go for it, Nick.
So AFLW draft last night, Richmond had the first pick. That was, you know, I realised it had been 16 years since we've had first pick with the men, and yeah, while it was exciting, there's always that balance of. Well, you've got this high draft pick because you're terrible, and you may have drafted somebody good, but gee, you needed it, and it's probably still going to be a while until you're good again. And I feel like the men were at the other end of the spectrum of trying to, you know, we are at the top, and there's always a risk that nobody stays at the top forever, so that. You know, when, you know, we can't, it's hard to do any better than winning 75% of your games over a 4-year period. So, I don't know. Are you feeling worried about Friday night? Is this?
Oh, very much so. I've got, it's been a sort of dark few days. And I totally take your point about the, where it, diametric other ends of the expectation curves as a supporter with the men's and the women. And I'll just apologise. There is a bit of background noise. There's a bit of construction going on near my house in Fitzroy. I've gone through the dark stages of post-finals loss, Nick. Gone through the if only we'd done X, and I'll have a rant about it a bit when we discuss the game, but if only we'd done X. But also the sad stage about the... Well, you know, I'll just, like, one of my talking points for the game is, like, superhero finals Dusty didn't show up.
No. You know,
that's almost the first time it's happened. And that's, it's not, it's just really sad because one day that will be our reality. And hopefully it changes on Friday night. But it's just, like, it's like sort of seeing your own mortality. It's quite a melancholy moment.
I did have a thought of, this is what happens when you're missing $1.5 million of your salary cap and All-Australian caliber key forward and key back at either end of the ground.
Not an unreasonable theory, but but you still like a loss is a loss is a loss, and it hurts. So angry, rational brain is ready to what can you do? But it's emotionally upsetting to lose to a team that you think you have, but you know, rationally, all right. If we've got a very brief.
And that for the most part, we didn't play badly against. Like, we kicked some fantastic goals, you know, generally took our chances pretty well. You know, our goal kicking was great, except for hitting the post three times. Oh, there's been a lot of talk about discipline issues and, I thought some of the 50 metres you'd want back, but Jesus, some of them, I thought, big final, the whistle goes, and you kick it in exactly at that moment. Like, they haven't been paying that all year. When there aren't crowds and when there isn't a lot of noise, and yeah, they were consistent on the night, but certainly not consistent with the rest of the season. I thought that lacked feel for the game.
Okay, if I was to summarize the sort of three key talking points from the game was, I'd start by the context is, and I was really annoyed myself after the game because I'd sort of. I just like
you were too smug, Andy. That's the biggest issue.
Exactly, but I was too smug, and I listened to other supporters, and people have rightly called me out for this. But I listened to other smug supporters who were also saying that we're going to do them easily, and somehow I let it affect my rational brain, or my fearful Richmond brain, which should have been fully engaged from the start. Because the starting point is one, they're a really good team, like legit good. Mm. We said that in the podcast, and all the numbers said that they've been good all year, and they're at full strength. Two, we were missing our most structurally important player, really, really important. And three, weird stuff happens in finals. It wasn't a surprise, but the discipline issue, look, it was there. I thought Marlins was the only one that really made me angry. That cost us a full goal. Because it was a slow 50 otherwise. So they weren't in a bad position, but they certainly weren't in goal-scoring position.
That was very frustrating.
I thought the Bolton one probably shouldn't have been paid. And yeah,
no, so, that was outrageous, I thought. It was unclear even that he could hear the whistle, I thought.
Yeah, and look, the thing is, like, you can sort of look at the flow of the game, and look, it was incredibly important. Basically, the last quarter was completely changed by the lead they built up, and the last quarter was them running out the clock. So you can't even overanalyze the last quarter.
And look, can we just say that even if we didn't dislike the Lions for sacking a friend of the podcast, that they're killing time with 15 minutes left in the game and a less than 3-goal lead. That is both an indictment on the shorter quarters, which hopefully we never see again, but also it looks like you're playing pretty scared.
Yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately, it's statistically incredibly effective this year in the AFL because it's so hard to make a comeback. But yeah, look, there are also things like the discipline issues. I mean, like that thing, what Marlon did was dumb, and Dusty probably did know he had given away the free kick. The other thing, God, Nick, I watched Footy Classifieds to get because.
Andy.
And thank you very much. I'm sorry, I can't remember who, and I didn't get permission, so I won't say it. I recommended it on to us on Twitter. And look, God, it's an angry show. Lots of very, you said this, like pulling up old video of people saying, Caro, who seems to spend two-thirds of the issue telling the other contestant they're wrong, Matthew Lloyd, who's sort of...
She's in a room with Matthew Lloyd. To be fair, it's like fish in a barrel.
So Matthew Lloyd was having a conversation with Hutchie, who's famously antagonistic, where Matthew Lloyd came across as the reasonable one sometimes. Matthew Lloyd wasn't antagonistic. He's just like a hot take merchant. And then you've got Corns. Like, it's the biggest collection of hot take, angry hot take merchants you could possibly imagine. So they're all getting stuck in. Anyway, I'm getting off the point. There was pictures of Dylan Grimes dropping his man multiple times at stoppages, which was not good. That definitely hurt us. I mean, we were winning the inside 50s at three quarter time, not by a lot, but by a few, while nursing considerable loss. Like, and some of their shots, look, we took our shots too, but you know, they hit a couple outside 50. I don't know why we weren't manning up Daniel Rich. I don't want to pick on him too much because I pick on him.
But
Chol was sort of doing nothing 30 metres away behind him. So I don't know if that's the job of the forward to sort of suck up and man him up, or it's the job of the forward to stand and wait for the rebound. But yeah, did notice Chol standing there doing nothing at the time. But maybe it's meant to come, the guy who's covering is meant to come from the D50. But yeah, it was just it was frustrating. They have a very good midfield. We won the center square matchup, Nick.
Against a very good center square team. There were some odd statistics from this game.
Yeah, there were. Like, and, you know, they're an odd team, as previously discussed, but we definitely look, it may just come down to sort of there were key moments in the game. The second quarter was really, you know, the game was right in the balance. We gave away the dumb free kicks, but we didn't make our own offensive move. And maybe an oversimplistic analysis is that finals Dusty never came out of the phone booth.
Yeah, and the forward line didn't work. Like,
The forward line's a disaster, but I didn't want to rant about everything straight away.
Well, we did kick some very nice goals. And, you know, Dan Rioli, while not winning a ton of ball, took some very nice goals. You know, Jack's goal kicking when he got it was very good. The bombing it long to Jack, who was triple teamed, Jake Arts could get nothing going inside forward 50. It was a nearly night.
Yeah. What were we? I mean, we're getting over the look. The Chol's of forward doesn't. Full-time forward doesn't seem to work at the AFL level. He actually played...
I put it to you that, like, because, you know, we sort of... A lot of Richmond supporters frustrated with Chol. And fair enough, he didn't play particularly well. But it does show, like, normally you're sort of defined by your strongest players rather than your weakest players, but I thought it just showed the difference. Last time we played Brisbane, they had Sam Skinner playing as a key forward, and just the big difference. You know, Mabia Chol is both a really useful player on the list. He's on our rookie list, so half his salary doesn't count on the salary cap. You know, that forward ruck role is an area where we don't have any depth. So he's a really useful functional depth piece, but those functional depth pieces help you get through the season. What you need, everything goes up a level at finals. And unfortunately, the Harris Andrews versus Mabia Chol equation just doesn't work in a big game. And yeah, we
Yeah, look, and
we missed Tom Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, you make an excellent point about remembering how little Marbs is, you know, Marbs at the end of the list depth player. There's a couple of points that angry post-finals loss Andy's going to make. The first one is we came in with this funny, well, starting with Marbs, and I think there's a point that needs to be made here that supporter ire is often directed at big men who don't play in a particularly physical style. And often it's big men who aren't massively well built. Like, I mean, Ty Vickery, who was actually an excellent player in many respects, got a huge amount of support. Yeah. And, you know, he's a better player than Marbs, but it's just certain types of players get more supporter attention because they get more supporter love. You know, the Ben Griffiths, the Ty Vickery, the Marbia Choles, they get the most amount of, if only they could get a bit of confidence, they could be anything posts on the internet. And you know, that comes from a place of love, but when it turns out, oh, actually they're not, they are what they are, it can lead to disappointment. Mm. And Marbs is what he is. I don't think he personally was, you know, it wasn't a great game by his standards, but he also did a few nice things. His game on AFL ratings was not a disaster, as you say. But there's a couple, what with the benefit of 2020 hindsight is, you know, pet thing, I wish we'd gone for CCJ earlier in the year when we wanted to bring in some ruck depth. I know Marbs was killing in those trial matches, but made me think, again, Nick, I'm confirming my priors, maybe proper VFL matches are better than scratch matches, because ballers who can ball in a big, tight game sort of stand out there, whereas, you know, a scratch match where you don't have as many players on the field isn't as like what a hot final is going to be. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but that was one thing.
I think you are. Look.
I mean, wanting CCG out there instead of Marbs is definitely a fair point, but the next step on blaming Marbs playing on the fact that we don't have VFL this year, I appreciate
that's probably low. That's probably fair, and not just in scratch match land, but last year as well, like CCJ is a ruckman who can play forward, and Marbs is a forward who can ruck a bit, and he kicks more goals.
Which is the next point I wanted to make, is actually that is the plan we went in. We played Nank 90% of the time.
Yeah.
I hated that.
Really?
And I don't like it because we also played him forward. Look, Nank plays Nank. So the two Brisbane rucks they're combined sort of, if you use the champion data rating, which is a reasonable composite measure, certainly more intuitively logical usually than the AFL rankings. They doubled our combined, the two Brisbane rucks doubled our combined rucks output, which is, you know, it's only two players, so it's not the end of the world, but it's definitely notable. I thought Nank was times he was really, really tired late in the second quarter. And I sort of, you know, he made that awful hand pass that led to a goal, which maybe...
Good.
There wasn't proof that was fatigue-related, but it might have been. And he also, the Charlie Cumming goal where he got round the corner, sort of, that was from just Nank got smoked in a ruck contest and the big O just tapped it in the perfect spot. Now, again, that could have happened anyway, but I just don't think Nank should play 90% of the time because I'm a cranky old man conservative person, and I think that rucks play better in shorter bursts, and I don't think he's much good forward, and I don't think there's point in playing Chole if you're going to play him 60% game time up forward and then 10% in the ruck. I much prefer how ruck rotations used to be, how we used to do it last year when we won a premiership, where we played the second ruck when we needed to, a little bit up forward.
And these clouds are too fluffy.
Exactly. But, like, I want to go... I know we stuck to... We wanted to keep the same amount of tools in the forward line because that's what we do when Tom Lynch plays, but I think we should have changed our forward line setup and gone
I actually thought it was... our structure wasn't bad when we had Nank forward. Like, he at least was bringing the ball to ground more effectively than... Marbs Mavs was. I thought that wasn't a bad look, actually.
Got it. That's pretty damning. But
Harris Andrews is the best fullback in the competition. So I do. You can unless and they were doing a good job of having him as third man up. I think playing short wasn't working.
Well, we didn't play short. We played Marbs in the forward line and we're still game.
Especially
in the first half, he barely rucked. I mean, look, I think the reason they play Dusty in the ruck, I'm not sure if Dim has spoken about this in a press conference I've missed. I think the reason they're playing Dusty in the ruck is because they've done it multiple times. They did it last week as well, is that they're trying to get him off a tag. And it was a nice strategy. It's not working. The umpires are just paying a free kick against him no matter what. The push out of the back was there, but they do it other times too.
It's a bit frustrating. Yeah.
Look, it was a nice strategy. Look, if Marbs was on the field, like, let Nank have a rest. Don't let your million-dollar-a-year midfielder just beat up. I can see why they tried it, but all right. It was a nice idea. It was innovative. It didn't work. That's okay. Now go back to playing. If you've got a 200-centimeter bloke standing in the center in the goal square, let him take the goals. The hit out. Also, Marbs is perfectly capable of grabbing the ball out of the ruck and kicking a goal. Like, that is definitely... It's not like he's a great big stiff.
It's something he's done. Look, I feel like we're a little unstructured.
Well, yeah, look, I'm okay with being angry and disappointed after a loss, particularly when you get a second chance, so it's not like you have to sort of emotionally pick your piece of... You eat up.
No, it's not. It's not one. It's not one of our devastated, emotionally devastated shows.
No, so I'm quite happy to be angry and frustrated at rack rotations, and then think, no, they'll probably fix it this week. They're probably going to ride that Nank pony all the for the rest of the finals. But yeah, I think that's by far the most Nank's ever played in a game. And I'm an old man, and I don't like it. I want to go back to... Well, it is statistically true. He played 90% of game time.
Yeah, he's had some games where he's played a lot before. In aggregate
game time... And he's playing against... Sorry, go.
In aggregate game time terms, it's probably only as much as he was playing in 2017. And look, the...
We did rest him for longer than that. And also... But the problem is you're playing against people who are like Mac and I do. It's a good point, actually. It is shorter quarters, but and that's probably part of the thinking. But he was playing, you know, they played Steph Martin 62% of the time. So
which is a lot of freshman being. Yeah, that's it. It's a lot more of a challenge against a team playing two rucks, which St Kilda won't this week. They'll
very conveniently.
Rowan Marshall will ruck a lot. I'd expect sort of 80% Nank versus Marshall, and then, you know, a little bit of Josh Battle if he gets picked versus honestly I don't know who. We can talk about that. What did you think about Prestia's return?
Quite a Dion-ish game. He's played many games like this that we it's just the Rovers' lot, isn't it? Sometimes you can look at the stat sheet in half time and see that he's got the most possessions than anyone on the ground, and you sort of haven't noticed him that much. You know, it has always been thus. So look, it was competent.
this is the way.
it was competent. I'm hopeful he'll be better again next week. But you can't realistically say it was it was about what you could have realistically expected, right?
Mm. Yeah, he looked good. He was sort of, you know, one of the great things about Prestia as an inside midfielder is that he also racks up a lot higher meters gained than the Tom Mitchells of the of the world. But yeah, he was much more, you know, he was winning. He was around the football a lot, but without as much spread to his game. And yeah, as you say, I think that's entirely reasonable for a guy coming back to his first game in 3 months.
Yeah, and for the record, he had 20 touches, 7 contested, and 34 pressure points, which is fine for mid, but sort of below, you know, more than 30% below his 17-18 average. So yeah, and his mid's game was down a bit actually. It was serviceable.
Yeah, but he can do better. I think that's the.
We want him to get half a season of. We want him to get half a season of match practice in one game. So you know, you've had one game's excuse, Dion, and now we expect a sort of 2019 best and fairest performance.
Yeah, I thought Shane Edwards is a bit the same as well, like. Maybe second game back. He sort of flashed in and out of the game, but honestly, you know, Dusty didn't have the excuse of injury, and he was in and out of the game after a slashing first quarter in midfield. Yeah, we said it before. It was a sort of coulda, shoulda, woulda game.
Yeah, and Cochin after the, you know, when he kicked that goal in the first quarter, how on did you think he was?
Oh, that was great.
And then it was just a 2020 high teens, unexceptional, solid Cochin game. He did actually have 7 clearances though and led the team, which is a lot for him. Yeah, yeah, good point. I mean, in fairness, some teams play in a style where you get more clearances. But yeah, definitely, you know, for any Richmond mid or you know, in any person playing in a Richmond game, that is a lot of clearances. Graham was sort of no one was particularly disappointing. And Graham, basically was average performance across the charts. We did use the time, the extra rotations we saved by having Nank and Chol play reasonable shifts went into the smalls. Graham only played 69%. Baker played less than 70%.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Graham looked great physically, just covering the ground as well as, you know, we've talked about how he's in form, but he's really covering the ground well, I think.
Yeah, and we're also protecting Shedder a bit in the rotation. He played 69% of game time. Interestingly, he played less than both Graham and Shedder played less than Prestia did. Not by a lot, but you know, interesting. So, yeah, we didn't protect him. We think he's fit.
Yep. I'm hoping it's a sign of a team that, you know, we didn't play badly, but we didn't. Yeah, we can certainly play better. And I'm hoping it's a stepping point rather than just something that we can't fix. I thought, speaking of frustrations, I thought Dylan Grimes again just wasn't quite his usual self, which is pretty frustrating.
Yeah, look, the before-mentioned footy classified, they highlighted multiple times where Rant sort of half-heartedly went to the ball and then his opponent got it and kicked the goal. Look, Rant does gamble a bit. Grimes. But they all do.
Grimes,
God, Jesus. We're just, this podcast is a bit like Richmond on Friday night. We're just a 10% off.
Just a tad, just a tad off.
Our elite standards. Yes, so Grimes lost his man multiple times in traffic. And look, you know, was it bad? Yes. Did it cost us two goals? Yes. Does Graham sometimes gamble to get all those intercept marks? Yes, they all do. They're trained to do that. So that the you know they use their judgment.
It's part of their job. Yeah, he's an elite defender.
Yeah, so I'm not the biggest fan of those sort of individual moments highlighting, but yeah, I agree with the point that he was sort of a bit off overall, yeah, certainly it was not working. And look, he didn't have possession in the second half; like it was not vintage Rance.
Who played well?
That's a really good question. Well, I mean. Sort of Shorty was arguably our best on ground with another 550 metres gained, 22 touches, got a bit more contested ball than he normally does. So I would have said Short was probably our best on ground. Who would you have said?
I don't know. That no one really stands out.
That's a really good question, by the way.
Yeah, like, no, we didn't have anyone in the coaches' votes, which is sort of
reflective. Well, I said reflective, but unusual is probably
for a relatively close game to not have either coach think that we had a player in the best five. Yeah, I think we had a lot of players who played decently, but not exceptionally. That sense of there being another gear, like Bolton, another guy who flashed when we were carving them up in the first half, and maybe if that goal doesn't shave the goalpost, which I think, do you think he knew that it had scraped the post? Because his celebration was pretty subdued.
Remember, he has been burnt on goal reviews before, so I don't know, but I was emotionally burnt afterwards. Yeah. I was pretty up and about. By the way, we got an answer to the question. I didn't credit it last time, but it was a Simon Wallace question about what's our best midfield rotation, because at the moment when we had a bit of a chance late in the fourth in the comeback, we played Cochin, Edwards and Dusty in the midfield, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
I hope I got that right. It was sort of it was close. And look, can we just dispel the myth, Nick, that it was a flogging? It wasn't a flogging.
Oh God, no.
There's worlds
in which we win that game often.
Yeah, we won the inside 50s. We'd won them because we even at three quarter time they were quite even. Time and forward half, we actually won. Marks inside 50 were pretty close. They won. There were lots of key measures. Some of their goals were kicked from they kicked at least two goals from outside 50. The expected shots, actually, the margin flattered us slightly. But, like, that was an even tight game. You know, people who say that was a flogging are the same people who always turn up and say that every finals game was a flogging one way or another. It's because they can't see nuance. Don't take those people seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Collingwood winning after being 12-point underdogs is the greatest comeback since Dot.
Oh, God.
Not really.
Oh, God, tell me about it, Nick. Oh, my God, yes. Also, I was happy for them after how they were treated. That was just ridiculous. They were very live underdogs in this game. Anyway, Nick, I'm going to find an excuse to circle back to the Rucks. this time, someone who's played in the Rucks. The Is Noah Bolter All at Sea with Dave back? Dave, by the way, was in one of our better players, had seven intercepts. And it should be noted that was one of the things that the Lions did. They absolutely killed us on the intercept level, and the total intercepts which we lost by minus five, but they were great inside 50 with that. But Asprey actually had seven, was not 12 disposals, was fine for the game, But the question is, how are you feeling about Noah Bolter as the sort of second tall back? Is it working?
Look, I thought yes, because they did a better job with Hipwood than they've done before. They played him up the ground and let him have a bit more space to run into, which when you're a super athletic 200-plus centimeter-plus guy, I don't think we want anyone. We don't want Dave Asprey chasing the super athletic dude. We want Noah Bolter chasing the super athletic dude. So I thought we had the matchups spot on, and I thought Bolter had a little bit of trouble with the matchup. But honestly, the only thing I thought wrong with Bolter's game was that his disposal was a bit off at times, rather than him not playing particularly well. So yeah, no, I was I think structurally it's works better against some teams than others, but yeah, no, this week I didn't think it was a problem.
Yeah, and there's certainly if you look at sort of his I'm inclined to, I've got a lot of sympathy for that take. He's definitely statistically sort of his intercepts. I think the Dave Asprey role is an easier role to play for him, at least
yeah,
mentally.
They're not down by a lot though. It's like they're down.
Yeah, they're definitely down, but it's a small sample. And the other thing is, I think it's a harder role to actually the key backstopper is statistically, it's just naturally a more stat-friendly game, if you understand what I mean, that you get, because the footy is coming in your area more often, that you do get more opportunities to take intercept marks, whereas the role he's playing is more secondary. So I can see the argument why people are saying he looks a bit lost, but I don't think it was the reason we lost. Like, on the scale of things that perturbed me, that one also, you know, as discussed last week, I think Dave at this stage in his career is actually better at playing it, still better than Noah in that role.
Yeah, I agree.
The things that perturbed me, that is not one, but the ruck forward thing worries me a lot more. So, which Noah might be the answer to. How would you feel about rolling Noah through the ruck for 15% of the game against the Saints?
I don't know. I don't hate the idea. I suppose it's how does Noah feel about it, not having done that role all year? Like, I like watching him in the ruck. And the Saints, it's very unusual to have someone who plays key back and backup ruck, but Josh Battle from the Saints is actually someone who does it. So, I hate that option less than I hate some of the alternatives.
Yes, that's a nice way to put it. Well, as you know, I really like it. I've always liked him as a ruck and sort of as an explosive chaos maker in the middle of the ground. But we do like to make things simple for our key backs. Like, they get one role, they don't come
up. And Noah's benefited from that.
No doubt. And look, we've had a pretty good backline for a while. You can't really knock our backline strategy.
No.
We give them one role, we don't take them off the field, and they stick to it all day. So look, it would be left field, but angry old man who shakes fist at clouds who didn't like our ruck setup for this week wants to try a different innovative ruck setup, but it goes back to confirming one of my favourite priors, Nick, which is I like Noah Bolter in the ruck. Thank you for indulging that, the second conversation. anyone else?
Did I have a choice?
Not really. I've got the God bun, so I can always mute you and continue talking. Anyone else you wanted to talk about? It is, like, I think the fact like the sort of I know people like C.R. Arts was found out that he doesn't have the extra level for a big game, but look, he had plenty of eight possession games in the regular season as well. And he's actually been good in some big games. So let's not rush to judgment on one quiet game. Although Camden was really disappointed about, like, he had the one or two brilliant moments as Camden tends to.
Great goal aside. Yeah, I thought both Pickett and Kamek weren't great.
Was both the lowest rated player on the ground, but part of that was actually the rating includes the giving away the dumb 50. So, so it's sort of all included in what was a very disappointing game for both our wings.
Yeah, look, and I think the Pickett's disposal inside 50 a couple of times was bad as well. I thought his ball winning was decent, and you know, you can always rely on both our wings for a lot of physical pressure, but yeah, coulda, shoulda, woulda. I mean, there's the obvious Lynch for Chole, but do you bring Josh Caddy in? I think that's the only other potential piece of the puzzle.
Do you bring Caddy for Pickett?
Arts, I think, has got too many runs on the board. Dropping Rioli for a final is ludicrous.
He also kicked two goals.
And he did take two very nice goals. I think he's in quite decent form. Honestly, I think Pickett's the player most under pressure, but Kamek's almost the second most under pressure there.
Yeah, and look, there might be a point with Arts that maybe he's better off when Lynch is playing.
Everything's better when Lynch is playing.
Yeah, so I'd be reluctant to change the forward line setup if I was Demmer because of that reason, because it was working really well when Lynch played. So I agree. I think it's the two wings. My prior is that Caps has done it for longer and better. So, yeah, you think about hard edge from Caddy might help the team, and now that Dimmer was worried about taking too many people in with an injury, so now that he knows that sort of he's got more faith in that Prestia can get through, I would think about Caddy for Pickett, and also gives you a bit more versatility if someone else gets injured. So that's what I would do. Those are the two changes I would make, because you know, I think after a game like that you do have perhaps drop someone to make a point about discipline, and the irony would be that the person coming back in would be someone, the only person I can remember recently who's been dropped for discipline as well.
yeah, there's a really fine line between playing on edge.
Which, speaking of people on a fine line, Dimmer's press conference was a masterclass in it.
Yeah.
When asked about, when he just, we told him at one point, nope, move on. Stop asking me about the umpires.
Yeah. St Kilda. Because this is the second week of the finals, they're a good team. Not a great team. A good team, perfectly capable of winning this game, as we saw early in the season. What's your level of anxiety?
Oh, no, Nick, I'm going to do it to us again. So for the record, I'm petrified, worried. I will...
Our complacency cost us last week.
Yeah, I know. But, Nick, rationally, I think they played their game of their season last week. Like, they're a decent team. They're actually very up and down. It's the old stereotype about St Kilda has been very up and down. It's actually true this year.
They were very good in the early to middle part of the season. They've won two of their last six games.
Yeah, but like And that exactly right. Like, their recent form is mediocre, and they look like a mediocre team. But they did, they did go to Adelaide and absolutely flog the Power.
They did. Yeah, they've had some really good wins. Sorry, I think it's
that's what I meant. Like, that's an outlier game.
Yeah, they've won their stuffed up. They won their last two games, but before that they had a stint where they lost 4 of 6. So they lost their way in the sort of the second half of the season, and it looked like it was going to be another calamitous St Kilda performance. But they have obviously they beat a Bulldogs team that was no joke last week, and they stitched up the Giants badly in the last round of the season. So their form line is inconsistent but decent. There's no cupcakes in the second week of the finals.
Yeah, but look, well, this would have been I just think they've lost their sharp edge with the outs and the injuries. And like, obviously, it was a very emotional good game that they won. Mm. But they had, I think by my count, they had 4 players play their season best game in that game. And like, that's sort of a bit unusual this late in the season. Particularly like Paddy Ryder and Dougal Howard both had their best ever games for St Kilda on the ratings. Paddy Ryder tragically is sort of out because, he's at that stage of his career where he's old enough where you start to see the end and you start to really appreciate what he is. He's been great for the second half of the season. Hats off to him. Hopefully get another contract. But
He'll get another contract.
If he wants to. Sorry, that was probably the
that's true.
Go round to get. But like that would have been a huge worry, having those two really good rucks beating up our one. But that's gone, as you pointed out earlier. Dougal Howard, yeah, he was amazing.
15 rebound 50s, which is a lot. That is a lot.
But he doesn't do that every week. Butts is a real worry. Butts is like sort of by the ratings is borderline all Australian.
It was in the squad. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, and borderline 22, deserved to make the squad. He's playing really well. He's on the ratings. He's far better than any of our small forwards. But if a small forward beats you, you've got trouble. He has plenty of down games too.
Yeah. Yeah, as we know, look, he played really well against us last time as well. True, and he's a nut. So he's left the hub. His wife's pregnant back in Melbourne. So yeah, and he's out of contract as well. Hats off to him. That could be the last AFL game he plays. But yeah, they are without Carlisle. They are. If they bring in either Robertson or Josh Battle, they're definitely shorter. So the matchups sort of sort themselves out of. They play, I think Howard will go to Lynch. Whoever comes in, or Callum Mulkey plays on Jack. Ben Patton is sort of a more along with Vlossy, was one of the really good mid-size defenders on the year. They're a really hardworking team.
And look, Marshall's a star.
He's very good. Yeah, and Jack Steele's been fantastic. Again, he was in a lot of people's all Australian team,
Nick, sorry to go back to the theme of who's out. Ben Long is on the list of most improved players in the second half of the year.
Oh, really?
He's he's not a star, but he's getting to the point.
He's a useful player. Top 20 in the AFL for intercepts.
That was not a small out.
So yeah, Yeah, and the betting line's 18 points, which reflect that. And normally the record of the team who loses a qualifying final versus the team who win an elimination final, normally those teams go pretty well, although not quite as much in recent years. They do. Their forward line is certainly a problem between Max King, who, you know, doesn't win a ton of the ball, but, you know, you can see obviously where he's going in terms of he's going to be a very, very good player. Membre plays really well against us. He averages 2.5 goals a game against us, and yeah, quite consistently annoying, which is frustrating. So you've got two good marking targets. Butler as a crummer, Jake Billings doing his homeless man's dusty impersonation. It is a forward line that can kick some goals, as we've seen.
Yeah, and we've had the upside. Like, we've seen the worst possible case with the Saints because it happened to us at the start of the year when we were a bit all over the shop. It was before we were in the hub. Every game at Dockland seems like an asterisk for us. and, you know, frankly, we were sort of doing the angry, you know, we were pretty unhappy about going into the bubble. We were doing a lot of public complaining at the time. And then we got there and discovered it wasn't too bad. And aside from the kebabs and the posse socks incidents, it was fine. But yeah, look, so I think that game's a massive asterisk. I'm of course worried and nervous and not at all overly confident, and that's all I'll say about the game.
Yeah, our form at Metricon's much better than theirs. If that's worth something, we went.
Yeah, they've managed to lose to a game to West Coast in Queensland, which
That was Freo.
It was their home game though.
Oh, was it? Oh, I thought that.
It was at the Gabba. Sorry, it wasn't Metricon, it wasn't the Gabba. Yeah.
Yeah, so that they'd close wins against the Suns and Hawks at Metricon and a loss to the Dockers. And we beat four finals teams while going 6-0 at Metricon. So yeah. We certainly played there pretty well. If we play well, we'll win. But yeah, if we're a bit off again and they take their chances, there's certainly scope for us to lose this.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not playing, as you say, it's a final. They're one of the best six teams in the AFL. They're good. Yep. And so if we roll a lot of the wrong numbers, we'll lose. But I'm pretty confident that barring a black swan event, that we will win. I mean, we'll lose. I'm very worried. Now, Nick, we do need to talk about the AFL Women's Draft.
Yeah, which I really enjoyed. It was a funny draft because we traded away our second round draft pick. So we went, we had the first pick, and then our next pick was pick 42. And look, the first pick we talked about on the show before a couple of times, Ellie McKenzie. She looks like she's going to be a pretty good player. Possibly from day one. I had a look at the track record of number one AFLW draft picks. It's not all that dissimilar to the men, really. Sometimes they go really well. Sometimes, unfortunately, they have catastrophic knee injuries. And sometimes they arrive with a bang, and there's not really you know, she's not going to be a star from day one, but I think she's got a pretty good chance of being a good player in what will be a completely remodeled midfield other than Monique Conti. And yeah, anyone who watched us play would be entirely comfortable with that midfield having been remade.
How much could, is it realistic, barring a bad injury, is it realistic to expect that McKenzie could sort of be a frontline midfielder in AFLW? Because you can't, realistically, you can't do that in the blokes. If you draft a gun 18-year-old mid, he might do some good things, but is she going to be in the centre square, round one, and sort of first bounce?
I don't know about the centre square for round one. She will be on the field for round one. How much do you it's impossible to compare anyone to Dusty and how good he became. But he was good from, you know, Trent Conchon had an injury-interrupted start to his season, but he was certainly decent from when he started. But Dusty was good from the moment he set foot. He had, I think in his debut season, he only had two games under 20 disposals for the season, and I think, yeah, adjusted for game time, etc., etc. That's probably too much to expect, but it's not super crazy to think that she can be a good player from day one.
Yeah, and we should point out about the, I know someone got in trouble for a professional journalist for comparing McKenzie to Dusty, but we're making an intra-Richmond comparison. And
Look,
we've only got five games of sample with the women's, and Monique is not a direct comparison because she was older when she played for us last year.
Yeah, not all that much. not much.
But two years is important in footy late years.
Yeah, that's true. Look, the yeah, I think she'll be good from day one. But she's not a saviour. Look, the other two players, our second pick, we picked Tessa Levy, who's another elite basketballer who's been training with the club in recent months. And look, that's you know, it's always tricky looking at how players are going to come over. But she's an extremely good athlete. You know, she's a genuine. Actually, she's not that dissimilar as a player and an athlete to Monique Conti. And you know, that's not a bad place to start. They're both sort of fringe national team point guards, so that sort of tells you how good an athlete she is. But yeah, it doesn't hopefully, you know, next. She's definitely an high upside pick, and another midfielder, which, as previously discussed, we desperately need. And our last pick, Luca Lalowski-Hay, who's another midfielder, sort of more a grunt inside midfielder. So yeah, probably more of a depth player as you'd expect with pick 52 in not the deepest draft when they only had three games of a season to judge from. So yeah, who knows?
But the good thing, you know, for someone who was sort of semi already in the building because she played with us last year, this time she's young and has two ACLs, so we've already improved from last year's last draft pick. I'm sorry, low.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck. I'm looking forward to. I'm all on board, Nick, about the AFLW team being the first Richmond team we get to see in person. I'd really like. Everyone.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And you can look, not our first game crowd, but the other games, you can, in a VFL/AFLW crowd, you can socially distance. You can do it safely, in my completely uninformed opinion. So I really hope we get to see them live. next year. Yeah. Life footy is part of the soul of Melbourne.
Yeah. Yeah.
And makes it a better TV watching experience.
The hub has got us through the season, but yeah, it's as you say.
Yeah.
All things are better.
And some of our players legit can't do it, but they have real life jobs.
Yeah.
Almost all of them do.
Yeah. So, fingers crossed. Look, I don't know. I'm hoping next week we get to do a more upbeat show. Because, yeah, it's a making up the numbers isn't, yeah, we're a long past the situation where making up the numbers is acceptable anymore. I think this is, we're a very good team that's had a good year, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be very disappointing if it ends here. So, yeah, all to play for on Friday night.
Absolutely.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
The Tigers are premiers for the 12th time in their history. Rioli, this time, 4-3-2-1, it's a goal, right on the siren. Solomon Pickett, whoa, what about that? A 4-3-60 in slow motion, just down your arms.
Oh, jeez. He's had four shots on goal, and that was his worst.
Pickett Mahan takes the mark, and it's all too much for Leon.
Well, he's an accurate set shot, the big fella. 4 out of 5 so far this year.
Make it 5 out of 6. The skipper goes and goes and then tries to lace it out, but no, he doesn't. He kicks a goal.
How sweet it is, eh?
Pickett lines up.
There are alarm bells going off everywhere at the moment. Pickett's having an influence in his first game of footy. Started with him.
Yeah.
Dusty's dangerous. The swarming pressure is overwhelming.
Didn't want the body contact. He kept the body free. The pickup's unbelievable. That's a play of the game. That is a play of the game.
We underestimate the footy brain in Dustin Martin. You look at his physical ability. At champion data would tell us 7 out of the last 9 finals, you can make the case for being best on ground.
Fight and win for we're from Tigerland. We never weep until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, the strong and ribald, for we're from Tiger. Yellow and black, we're from Tigerland.
And I think they were a better team last year than they are now.